Welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
Good morning. We're excited that you're here. I know Kristen's already told you that, but thanks so much for being here this morning and joining us. Excited for those of you that are watching online or participating online. We're excited that you're here to be a part of our service. Pastor John and Michelle had an out-of-state, out-of-town wedding this weekend, and so that's why he's not here today. But he'll be back next weekend, and we are kicking off a new series today called Good, Good Father, which you just saw there. And we'll get into that here in just a moment. But again, we're excited that you're here. Thank you so much for coming and participating with us today. But before we go any further, I want us to pray about what took place yesterday in the city of Pittsburgh, which basically is us. You know that. You know how obviously we all consider ourselves Pittsburghers, so to speak, even though you may not technically live there. We all consider ourselves that. And we want to pray for that. What a horrible, horrible thing that took place. And so we want to pray for those families. We want to pray for those people being impacted by that. About a horrible situation. You know, and this comes up, anytime something like this comes up, you know, people will ask occasionally about just us here and about safety here, but, you know, we've had in place for years security and things like this here for us as a church, and believe it or not, years ago, people actually criticized us because, again, it's been in place for years. We have a wonderful team of men and women that are here that participate in that, and we take that very, very seriously. So, again, we do have that. And they love participating and being a part of this ministry and keeping you and your family, your children safe, all that kind of stuff. So that comes up from time to time. Anytime something like this happens, people will ask. But we want to pray for those people, pray for those first responders, pray for those officers, pray for those people that were a part of that, impacted by that horrible event there. And we want to pray for them. So let's all stand up. We're going to stand and we're going to agree together before we go any further in the service. Let's pray specifically for this, all right? Father, in Jesus' name we come to you. And Father, we thank you that you are ever faithful, ever good, Father. And as a part of the body of Christ, your presence here on this earth, Father God, as a part of your church, Father, we come together to pray for this horrible event that took place in Pittsburgh, in our own city. Yesterday, Father, we pray for the victims' families and the loved ones, the people that have been impacted by this horrible event. We pray, Father God, for a comfort that only you can bring. No human words, no human touch, nothing we can do, humanly speaking, can impact these people the way that your presence and your love can. So, Father, we pray for your compassion, and we pray for your love. We pray that these people would be surrounded by people that will love them and bring the love of God into this situation. This horrible, horrible situation. We pray for those men and women that were first responders, those men and women that saw things they should never have to see, that were a part of things they should have never had to been a part of. Father, we pray for their wholeness and soundness as well. We pray, Father God, for their minds and their hearts, that, Lord God, Father, they'll not be scarred or emotionally hurt or damaged by those things in a long-term or a permanent basis. We know it would be damaging or hurtful to see and to participate in the moment. But, Father, we pray, Father, that you would continue to reveal yourself and your love and your compassion to those people involved. And, Father, although it's not easy for us to do as human beings in our natural understanding, but in obedience to your word, oh, Father, we pray for this man that carried out this horrible deed, Father. We pray for his soul. Father, we pray that the love of God and the compassion of God would break through the utter darkness that he would have to do that. Father, we pray for his salvation. We pray again for the love of God to pierce that darkness. And once again, Father, we pray for those families, those loved ones, those children whose lives will never be the same. And we pray again, Father, for just your compassion to surround them, to protect them and keep them. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thanks so much for praying with us. You know, things like that take place. You know, in fact, it was actually this past week. My wife and I were at home, sitting at home, and we're empty nesters now, which feels really weird because, you know, our youngest is at school in Alabama, and so we're empty nesters, and our middle child, Stephanie, moved to North Carolina and abandoned us, and if she's watching, you abandoned us, she's there, so Sean and Sarah, they're taking a beating, man, because they get all the attention, all right, and so... But we're empty nesters, and so we're at home. And just kind of as a habit, you know, we'll turn the TV on. We're not real big news watchers. We watch it occasionally, but we'll turn the TV on to watch the weather. All right. Now, I don't know what it is about old age and watching the weather. I have no idea how this has transpired in my life, and I have become my parents. I don't know. That's just wrong. All right. But we're sitting there, we're watching the weather. I mean, I remember when the Weather Channel was announced, okay? And I remember when they're talking about cable television is new and the Weather Channel is announced. I remember when that announcement took place. And being much younger, of course, I remember hearing that about a 24-hour-a-day Weather Channel. I remember thinking, that is the stupidest idea I've ever heard in my life. And of course, now it's basically one of the highest-rated cable channels, period, all right? And the other night we were at home, we had watched the weather, and we just left the TV on, and we're sitting there, and we're going, and the news comes on, you know, other stories go on, and again, we just left it on. And as things go on, it's just one thing after another that you hear, you know, and you got this person that's mailed all those packages all over the country and all kinds of crazy stuff. It's just one thing after another. And this is prior to yesterday, obviously. As we're sitting there, hearing those things, I mean, it's almost like just getting hit over and over and over again. And eventually, I looked over at my wife and I said, man, I said, the world is going to hell. And I don't mean that in a slang way. I mean, it's going to hell. Right before our eyes, you can see it right before your eyes, all the things that are taking place, all the things that are impacting people's lives. But I also thought this, you said, what a time for the light of the gospel. Because you know what Jesus even talked about, and the Word of God talks about, in times of darkness, and as the world gets darker and darker, you know what happens? We get brighter and brighter. You are needed more now than ever before. You, not this building, not the chairs in this building, you, the people sitting in these chairs, you are needed more than ever. And your mission is to be a light and to be a hope to the world around us. Because man, you're talking about darkness. You're talking about all the things that are impacting the world around us. And I know this one in particular obviously hits home because it's right here. But think about all the things that are taking place. And man, what a mission we have as a church. And I don't mean just this church. I mean the universal church. What a mission we have as a church. Because Jesus Christ is the only hope of this world. Jesus is the only hope of this world. And we as the body of Christ, we as the church, that means us. That means God has called you specifically. God has something for you specifically to do that is a part of that. There are people that you will touch and reach that no one else will touch and reach. Did you know that? You will interact in circles sometimes that we will never interact in. And God has a plan and a purpose for you to do that. And it's so important that you step into that role. And you know, Pastor John, we just celebrated our 25th anniversary, had a couple weekends there. I hope you were able to be here. If not, you can watch those online. Last weekend, Pastor John talking about the future, talked about us taking the steps for next year, becoming one church in multiple locations, beginning to expand and have campuses in this region and around us. He talked about how we're going to be involved and work with other people, other ministries, other churches in the Northeast, primary focus on planting churches and helping revitalize churches in the Northeast. We've already been doing some of that, but expanding it on purpose. Again, we shifted some things around as a church, organizationally and internally, to really focus on some of those things that we feel like God's put in our heart. To the future Christian leaders, man, there is a lack of Christian leaders in the world today. I have not interacted with a single church or a single ministry that did not say these words, if we only had more leaders, if there were only more people that could step into some of these roles. Once again, I'll say, that's you. That's you. Sitting in this room right now. I guarantee you there are some of you in this room, you should go to Waymaker. You should be in school. We're going to expand that into an evening thing starting next fall. And there's many of you. There's some of you have students right now that are getting close to graduating high school or on that journey, or maybe you're in college or out of college, because there's quite a range there that can attend, all right? And even you old people can show up, right? The daytime is not necessarily designed for you because it's set up like a college, okay? But the evening stuff will be designed for you. And for some of you, God's speaking to you. I got emails this past week just from Pastor John's message last weekend about God tugging on people's hearts about things that he has for them to do. That's you sitting in this room. God's going to use you to impact the world. Some of you will go and plant churches out of this church. Some of you sitting in this room right now. You know that's been on your heart for ages, and you just, for whatever reasons, again, if I knew you personally and wanted to harass you, I'd say, you've just been stinking chicken, and you need to get out, you're going to get after it, right? Some of you, God is going to tap on the shoulder, and you're going to be involved in some of those campuses in this area, and you're going to be involved and help revitalize churches. Some of you are going to be heavily involved in those things, but we're going to invest not just in the young future leaders, because how many of you know there's future Christian leaders in this room who may not be quite so young, correct? Many people make career changes later in life and shift into things that maybe God's put on their heart back when they were a child, all right? But that's for all of us to participate in. God and Pastor John touched on some of those things last weekend, and we're going to continue to pursue those things in the future. And I want to encourage you something. There's a scripture in Matthew chapter 7, and we're kicking off a new series today called Good, Good Father. And it's talking about God as our Father. But before we get into that, there's a scripture in Matthew chapter 7, and I put it up there in the message paraphrase. The message paraphrase came out as a result of a pastor, believe it or not, a guy who pastored over 30 years in churches, and his name was Eugene Peterson, which he just this past week went to heaven. Just this past week, Eugene Peterson passed away and went to heaven. Imagine the fun he's having in heaven. Somebody that pastored as long as he did, loved the Word of God the way that he loved the Word of God. And it was actually through his ministry as a pastor, trying to help his congregation understand the Bible better and be able to read it more easily. That's where the message paraphrase came from. Eventually, he got approached by publishers and said, hey, would you be willing to do this? We've heard so much about these things that you do for your congregation, et cetera. So that's where the message came from, out of his ministry to do that. And he had all the right initials after his name. He actually taught these languages in college, all right? He actually taught these things. But it's a pretty cool reading. It's not a study Bible, but it's a pretty cool reading Bible. So I put this up in Matthew 7. You can see it behind me here. And I'm not going to read every part, but Jesus is telling this. You'll be familiar with this story if you're familiar with the Bible about Jesus relating the story about you building your house on the rock or on the sand. And this is about being on the rock here. And Jesus says, hey, these words that I'm speaking to you, and I'll paraphrase a paraphrase, okay? You can read it. But Jesus is saying, hey, these words that I'm speaking to you, you know what? I'm not making these things up. And these are not just little things that you should just add to your life in a casual way. These are foundational words that you should build your life on. And this series about Good, Good Father is a foundational series for you. And I cannot emphasize enough that you show up every week and that you pay. If you miss for whatever reason, make sure you listen to it, because your idea about how God is to you personally is such a foundational belief, because so many of us really struggle with this. So many of us really struggle with the idea about who God is and who he is to us as a person. So many of us struggle. And the reason is, lots of different reasons, but some of them, maybe it's how we were raised. Some of us, you may not have had the greatest family life. Your father, absentee fatherism is horrible in our country. It's rampant. And it's not politically correct to talk about it anymore, and so no one really ever talks about it. But it's rampant across our country and across the world today. And so you may not even have ever known your father. You may have felt abandoned from birth, basically. Some of you knew your father and wish you didn't, right? I'm not really saying that to be funny, because if you're in that category, that's not funny to you, correct? So some of you knew them and you wish you didn't know them. And all those things skew us. All those things actually can hinder us from really receiving from our Heavenly Father, because we're skewed. It kind of slant. Wait a minute, you hear that word father and it doesn't bring up positive things. It doesn't bring up positive memories. It doesn't bring up positive interaction. And so it's important to us and to you as a body of believers, you as a believer, that you understand the words of Jesus and the Word of God. These are foundational things that will help you in your life that you need to build your life on. Of course, again, the context of this whole that whole section of Scripture is, again, when the storms of life come, that you can stand, all right, that you can stand. And again, that's why it's so important to stay connected to the body of believers that are right here. That's why it's important you should be in a small group so you can build your life on foundational truths. Small groups are so important for that. You can only get so much on a weekend. We're only here for so long. And again, culturally, things have shifted so much just in how people attend church and things like this and how often and all this other kind of stuff. I mean, you without a small group, without you being in a small group, it's going to be hard for you to really make these things really a part of your life. So you should be in a small group. You should be serving somewhere. Get connected to people. One of the greatest things you can do is serve. Because you get to all the time, however often you serve, you get connected around other believers and you get to interact with them and they get to help you. And once someone gets to know you, because we all want to be loved and we all want to be known. It's an inherent need that we have. Whether you deny it or not, it's there. And it drives you to do certain things that you do. You want to be known. All right? And you serving allows you to get connected to other people, allows those things to take place in your life. The Christmas show, I know Kristen brought it up. When she was going through the 57 times, she said, myvfc.info, right? But she brought up that. It's a great opportunity. You've never served in your life, which is a lot of you probably in the room. You've never taken a step to do that. It's a very easy way to just kind of test the waters. You can kind of just show up and help us receive people. It's an awesome thing to do, but get connected. It's so important to you. All right, so as we go forward in this series, I can't emphasize enough, it's a foundational thing about who your Heavenly Father is and our relationship with Him. Look at the scripture behind me here. This is Philip relaying this to Jesus. You can see it there, and it's also from the Message paraphrase. Maybe because I found out Eugene Peterson passed away, maybe that's why the Message is showing up in quite a few of these here. But this Philip said this, one of the disciples says, "Master, show us the Father, then we'll be content or satisfied or fulfilled. Show us the Father, Jesus." And that cry, "Show us the Father," is in the cry of every person's heart. It's in your heart sitting in this room right now. That is the cry of everyone's heart. Show us the Father. I want to know the Father. Jesus said that he actually came to show us. In fact, if you continue on in the next part of that scripture, you'll see that Jesus said, to see me is to see the Father. So Jesus actually came to reveal the Father to us. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. In fact, Jesus used that phrase over a hundred about the Father, referring to God as Father. Jesus used that phrase over 150 times in the Gospels. It was a predominant theme of showing, I'm here to show you the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You want to know what the Father's like? Look at me. And that's what part of Jesus' mission was, to show us that. And the cool thing is about God is that he's the one that wants it. It's not us chasing him. He actually pursued us. That he wants to have that type of relationship with you. He wants you to be in such a comfort level with him and such an intimate conversation with him, which we'll look at a couple of scriptures about this, that he's the one that came up with this whole plan. He's the one that initiated. In fact, we're going to go through a few scriptures real quick about that part of it, all right? Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. And again, these are going to go by on the screen, and we're going to read through some of these pretty quickly. But I just want to give you a few little foundation scriptures here. Is that God is our Father, and it was his plan, his idea, and we're birthed into the kingdom, or rebirthed into the kingdom of God. And I'm going to just go through a few scriptures here pretty quickly, all right? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. "Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God has given us a new birth. Because of his great mercy, we have been born into a new life that has a confidence which is alive, because Jesus Christ has come back to life or been raised from the dead. We have been born into a new life which has an inheritance that can't be destroyed or corrupted and can't fade away. That inheritance is kept in heaven for you." We've been born. It's a birth that God came up. Look at John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. It says, "But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth, resulting from human passion or pain or a plan, but a birth that comes from God." Where does it come from? It comes from God. This whole thing about being born again, this whole thing about you having to be born again to become a believer, that's God's idea. But the purpose of it is to place you into his kingdom, into his family. Look at this other scripture, 1 John 3:1. "What marvelous love the Father has extended to us. Just look at it. We're called children of God. That's who we really are. But that's also why the world doesn't recognize us or take us seriously, because it has no idea who he is or what he's up to." Look at the marvelous love the Father has extended to us. that we are called or become the children of God. Ephesians chapter 2, 17 through 19. Ephesians 2, let me read this to you. For the Messiah has come to preach this sweet message of peace to you, the ones who were distant and those who were near. And now, because we are united to Christ, we both have equal and direct access to in the realm of the Holy Spirit to come before the Father. So you are not foreigners or guests, but rather you are the children of the city of the Holy Ones with all the rights as family members of the household of God. You're united with Christ. We have access to God, and you're now a part of the family of God. One other scripture about this, Galatians 4, verse 6 and 7. And so we know now, and so we would know for sure, trying to read too fast, and so that we would know for sure that we are his true children, God released the spirit of sonship into our hearts, moving us to cry out intimately, "My Father, you're our true Father." Now we're no longer living like slaves under the law, but we enjoy being God's very own sons and daughters because we're his. We can access everything our Father has, for we are heirs of God through Jesus the Messiah. We are his true children, so much so that intimately by the Spirit of God, we can cry out, "Father, God as our Father." So you can see, and I just ran through a number of scriptures real quick there, but I wanted to just to show you this is God's plan and God's desire that we be birthed into his family so that he could be our Father. God didn't want us out there. God didn't want us to leave us lost. God didn't want us to keep us in our sin. He could have easily have done that. But no, he sent Jesus to reveal himself to you and to me so that we could be his children, so that we could be born into the kingdom of God. Colossians talks about that we are transferred or translated from the kingdom of darkness into his marvelous light, the kingdom of his dear son. That's what Jesus did for you. So I want to encourage you with this. It's so important that you understand. And we just went through a few scriptures real quick. Those scriptures talked about the access that you have to God. They talked about how you can have an intimacy with God. They talked about the inheritance that you have through Christ Jesus. Man, there's all kinds of things that we could go and we could get out by about 2 o'clock this afternoon, okay? I know you're looking at me like, this guy's nuts, sorry. Not really, but we could. We could actually spend the afternoon. I could take one or two of those scriptures. We could spend the afternoon. When it talks about the inheritance that you have when Christ Jesus, most of us don't even understand what that means. What a marvelous thing that Jesus did for you. And once again, it's not meant to sound like a commercial. That's why getting in small groups or getting connected to other means where you can grow spiritually are so important. So you can find out and discover what Jesus did for you and how he brought you into this relationship with God, our Father, our Heavenly Father. All right, you know, people will talk about God, G-O-D, God all day long with you. Did you know that? Because that word God is very impersonal. But it sure changes when you start talking about God as your Father. Most of us start struggling a little bit with that. And it changes dramatically. You bring Jesus into the picture. People talk about God, but you bring up Jesus, who just happens to be God in the flesh, right? But you bring up Jesus, man, it changes things a little. You know why? Because those two words, Father and Jesus Christ, the Son of God, they bring up a very personal relationship that you and I are meant to have. God designed you for that. Just like Philip crying out, "Jesus, show us the Father." And Jesus is like, "Dude, I've been with you for 400 and something days or whatever. And you say this now? You see me, you've seen the Father." That's the heart of God. He doesn't want you out there just crying, "Oh God, I just wish I could know you more." He sent Jesus so that you could. And it's important that you understand, for us as believers, God's desire is to fellowship with you and for you to have that access to him. And you do understand the inheritance that you have with all the saints in Christ Jesus, where God talks about things about you being seated in heavenly places in Christ. Positionally, right now, you're seated in heaven in Christ Jesus. I know you're sitting in that chair, but you're also seated in heaven right now. The Bible talks about you being holy. The Bible talks about you being blameless. The Bible talks about you being complete in Christ Jesus, lacking nothing. You know why? Because Jesus provided it all. There is such an inheritance that Jesus purchased for you. But that comes from us understanding about the relationship of God as our Father. That he's not just this inanimate object that's floating out there somewhere, or this unapproachable being that wants to fry me every time I get close. But he's this person that sought me out, and it's his plan. It's his plan to give me birth into his kingdom so I can have access to him, so that I can fellowship with him and know him. So what's the thing that we need to do? Let me read you a couple scriptures. We'll wrap this up. Romans 12, 1 and 2. And this is from the Passion Translation. It says, "Beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? I encourage you to surrender yourselves to God, to be his sacred living sacrifices, to live in holiness, experiencing all that delights his heart. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship." It says, "Stop imitating the ideals, opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful, satisfying life." If you're used to a traditional rendering of that scripture, that's where it talks about you renewing your mind with the Word of God, changing the way you think, and bringing your natural way of thinking in line to God's way of thinking. Let me read you last scripture, Ephesians 4, 22. It says, "Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception." It says, "Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy." That's who you are in Christ. That's your new nature. Your new nature is like Jesus Christ, created to be holy, without blemish, without spot. The Bible calls you those things. Not when you get to heaven. It calls you those things right now in Christ Jesus, which is crazy if you think about it. But that's what Jesus did for you. That's the inheritance that you have. And that's what comes by you knowing God as your Father. And it's his plan all along that you would know and that you would have that access to him, that you would understand those things. But it's not enough just to mentally agree with those statements. And that's what a lot of Christians do. A lot of times we'll come to church and it's kind of casual. It's like the first scripture I referenced in the paraphrase there from Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus says, "Hey man, these words, they're not like just casual things that you should just kind of incrementally add into your life," which is what a lot of people do, very casual approach to it. So no, these are foundational things. And so what happens is, in a casual approach, we mentally agree with these truths, but when it comes to the rubber meeting the road, so to speak, rather than them governing and dictating our lives, which is what happens when it gets down into our heart, our innermost part of our being, there are things you believe that you just know in your heart. You know, right? You know this, either through experience, education, living life, all kinds of things. I mean, you know these things are true. You've seen these things proven to be true, correct? Now, then there's other things we just mentally agree. And what happens is we'll mentally agree with things, but when something hits me, that mental agreement is the first thing out the door. We're like, ah, right? Because there's no foundation. I'll illustrate it real quick with a story like this, all right? Years ago, we were on vacation. We'd gone to Turks and Caicos, which is a heavenly place to go. I felt like God called me to plant a church there, all right? So, Grace Bay, beautiful, beautiful place, okay? So, we're going to go snuba, S-N-U-B-A. It's not scuba diving. We have some very highly qualified scuba divers in this church congregation, and it's not that. You don't have to get certified for this or anything else like this. Now, you still have the regulator you breathe, and there's a long line that goes up to a raft has the tank in it. And so as you're swimming underwater, and you can still go down pretty far with this, but you don't have to get any type of certification to do it. Now you go through a little bit of training. And so we're going through that training for it. It's myself, my wife, three kids. We're at Turks and Caicos, heaven on earth, right? So we're going through this training. The lady goes through all the stuff. And then we eventually get down to the beach, get out of the water. So we're out there in the water. You go out far enough so the water's, you know, like roughly up in here somewhere, right? Now, I'm thinking as we're going through this, man, I hope the kids are going to be okay with this. Pretty sure the older ones, little Rachel, she wasn't little. She's an early teenager at this time, all right? But, you know, just thinking about your youngest, you know how you are as parents, right? Your kids, stuff like this. And so we're going through it. And the lady had said something as she was doing it. She said, "Now, a lot of people, just make sure you breathe." Okay, because a lot of people, even though they've got the thing in their mouth, when they go under, they hold their breath. Now, I'm not a fearful person. I've done some pretty crazy, volunteered for some pretty crazy things, okay? So I'm not a fearful person, all right? And we snorkeled all the time. We even have our own stuff, okay? So, I mean, we snorkeled all the time, go underwater, come up, spit the water out of the tube, keep breathing, swimming with sea turtles and all that stuff. We've done it a lot, all right? So I'm thinking, it never crossed my mind the experience that I was about to have. All right? So I'm standing in this water, got the regulator in my mouth, I'm breathing, got the mask on, and she just simply says, okay, all you do now is just to get used to it, just slowly just bend your knees, you go under the water, just make sure everybody's comfortable and stuff. So we're in there, I got the water up to about in here, so I just start going down. Water comes up, you're underwater, hitting about just above your mask, and you know what I did? I held my breath. All of a sudden, can't breathe. I pop up out of, can't breathe. I take the thing, I yank the regulator, which, by the way, has oxygen in it. Pop the thing out of my mouth, can't breathe. At this point, I'm feeling pretty stupid and wimpish, all right? Do it again, go down. I didn't even get the top of my head wet the first time. That's how bad it was, okay? I do it again. Same thing, get up under, I'm talking about, sorry, you can breathe. Can't breathe. I did that two or three times. By the time I got to the second or third time, I'm concerned for, now I know I'm wimping out, I'm concerned for the kids. And I look around, man, I hope they're okay. I look around, they're underwater swimming around like tadpoles. So what happened to me there? Not a certified diver, even though I've snorkeled, done all this other kind of stuff, none of that type of stuff. I had head knowledge from the training that she gave us. I did not have heart knowledge attached to it. I've got oxygen in my, I can breathe. I'm standing above the water. Yet when it came to the stress of life, can't breathe. That's head knowledge to heart knowledge right there. That's what many people do in their spiritual life right there. It's head knowledge to them, but when something pops them, something takes place in their life, all that stuff is just gone. I'm popping the thing that actually gives me oxygen. I am popping it out of my mouth so I can breathe. How stupid is that? I mean, there's other things attached to that I could go on, the funny things that took place during this whole journey, but I eventually got it together and did it, even though I felt pretty wimpy for quite a while. But I had to actually separate myself, talk to myself. I didn't want to see anybody, didn't want to talk to anybody, didn't want nothing. I just want to be by myself and think, this is stupid, Steve, you can breathe. Okay? But my point is this, is that's what so many of us do when it comes to our Christian walk. There's head knowledge up there because you hear things. You heard things today, you'll hear things next week. You heard things last week, 2 weeks ago, you hear things. You hear scriptures, you go, yeah, that's good. Oh, man, yeah, I agree. Oh, that was, Pastor John was a little off today. I'm going to give him a 4.5. One of these days, I'm going to hold up cards here on the front. Back, those of you that are old enough, you remember back in the Olympics, the judges used to actually hold up cards. Now it's all digital and stuff, but they'd hold up those cards. You'd see those 7.5. I'm going to have a group of cards. But anyway, you may be doing that. You think, that was a little off. That was, but you hear things, but then you leave and you think, because you've heard it and you've mentally agreed to it, that it now will govern your life, and nothing could be further from the truth. Because all it takes is some type of stress. All it takes is some type of stressor to come into your life, and you're going to find out what's in your heart real quick. Did you know a lot of people, when something happens in their life, something bad, whatever it is, something bad happens in your life, in their life, do you know what the first thing most people do? They actually disappear from church. Isn't that crazy? Rather than coming to God, which is what the Bible tells us to do, they actually back up. And I want to encourage you this morning, take the journey, get in a small group, take steps, serve, get connected. Take the steps necessary on a personal level, outside these walls, outside of your small group, outside of serving somewhere. Get connected personally to things that will feed you spiritually so that you can gain a foundational knowledge. Build your life on the knowledge of God's Word. Build your life on the knowledge of Him as your Father. That's where all those things come from. Man, you have an inheritance that is beyond our wildest dreams, that if I'll get that foundationally in my life, it will change my life. It'll change my marriage, my children, my job, everything I'm involved in, because that's who God is. He's my Father. And Jesus came to give us that access. It's an amazing thing if you think about it. So I encourage you today, personally, take the time to put off that old. I read there in Ephesians, didn't really have time to go through it, but in Ephesians there, it talks about put off the old and put on the new. It's just like taking off a coat and putting on something different. Allow what took place through the new birth on the inside of you to begin to transform you outwardly, to change the way you think, to change the way you navigate life. If you'll do that, you'll find out things about yourself that you never knew. You'll see things like in a different way that you've never saw before. God will use you in ways that 2 or 3 years from now, you won't even recognize yourself. Other people will go, wow, look at the difference in them. That's what God has for you. Let me pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name we come to you. And I thank you so much, Father, for your church. The people sitting in these seats right now, those watching online, those participating in a variety of different ways. I thank you, Father, for each one of us, that, Father, we will gain in our understanding about who you are, that we'll gain in our understanding about God as our Father. We'll gain in our understanding about you personally, that you are our Father, that we have access to you, that you have an inheritance for us. You have so many good things for us to walk in. Father, help each one of us gain in our ability and gain in our understanding in that, Father God. I ask that you would reveal yourself in a greater way to each one of us, that we will take these and build our lives on these foundational truths, and that they will govern our lives, and that your word will govern our lives, that we'll have a strong, solid foundation from which to live our lives. I thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Just keep your head bowed, eyes closed, just for a moment. You might be in the room and say, Pastor Steve, I've heard you this morning, I heard you talk about God is my Father and things like this, but I don't think I've ever really made that journey. I can't think of a time where I really asked Jesus Christ to come into my life and to be my Lord and to be my Savior. I've never done that. You know what? You may have gone to church, you may have been religious, or you may have been on the other side of the spectrum. You may have been one of those people that talked about, man, I could never go to church, God would kill me, and all this other kind of stuff. All those things are irrelevant. Doesn't matter at all. Jesus died for you. He knew you'd be sitting in this room right now. And right now, I can promise you, if you're not in a strong, positive relationship with God, I promise you, with your Heavenly Father, I promise you, Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, is working on the inside of you right now. All I ask is, all you have to do is respond to it. All you have to do is just simply open your heart and say, Jesus, I receive you as my Savior, as my Lord. All you have to do is just simply make that choice. You make that choice, God shows up. Your Heavenly Father will show up in such a way, it will blow your mind all the things that God will set in motion for you. So if you've never made that journey, you've never taken that step, I encourage you, please don't leave today without taking that step. I'm not going to single you out. All I'm going to do is ask you to raise your hand here in just a moment. I'm not going to have you come forward, not going to have you stand. We're going to pray for you, and we'll all pray this prayer out loud together with you right there at your seat. So if that's you today, if you'd say, Pastor Steve, I want to pray that prayer. I want to make sure I'm right with God. I want to make sure I'm right. I want to really make sure where I stand with my Heavenly Father, with God as my Father today. If that's you, you want me to pray for you, lift your hands right where you're seated right now. I'm not going to drag this out. Just going to look around just for a moment. If that's you, quickly raise your hand. Thank you so much. You can put your hand back down. Who else? Raise it up fairly high because sometimes it's kind of hard to see you there in the risers or toward the back. So raise it up real quick. I'm going to look one more time. Who else want to join those that raised their hand? And we'll pray this prayer. Thank you so much. You can put your hand back down. Who else want to join those that raised their hand? Anybody else real quick? All right, let's pray this prayer out loud together with those that raised their hand. And Jesus Christ is going to come into your heart. And you're going to be a brand new person. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you as a sinner. And I turn from my sinful ways. And I ask you to come into my heart, to be my Savior, and to be my Lord. Lord Jesus, I open up my life, the door of my heart, to you. And I receive you now. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins. Thank you for making me brand new. And I'll follow you and honor you all the days of my life. Amen. Amen. Let's give them a round of applause. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.